96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Where do you go after incarceration? And what do you do after you've paid your debt to society? You may need a place to stay, a job, support, resources. You need a second chance. Well, tonight, we're talking about one of those resources right here in D.C. that can help keep returning citizens from going back. Paula Thompson is the executive director of Voices for a Second Chance. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And certainly you're welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Paula, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so there are many organizations here in the district that offer assistance and resources for returning citizens. This organization is 40 years old, which I find fascinating. What is it that Voices does?
Voices has been around now close to half a century.
Okay.
And we bridge the gap. We bridge the gap from incarceration to community. And what that means is that we look at reentry at the point of arrest. And so we provide services to men and women who are incarcerated in the D.C. jail. We work right inside of the jail, providing case management services to them. And once they're released, many of them come to our office where we continue that process. So it can range anywhere from someone can come to our office to get a birth certificate, which they need to be able to get an identification. And that's the first point of integrating back into society, is having identification. And so we provide birth certificates for them. And then we work with our partners to get them an identification. And from there, they can come in and they can need clothing. They can need food. We store their property when they're arrested. They're picking up their belongings, because if we don't pick them up or retrieve them, then they're discarded. And so when they're released, they don't have identification and those things. And so we provide food. Many of our clients are homeless. We're connecting them with shelters for those who have no housing at all, particularly if they're coming out of the D.C. jail, or those district residents who are coming home from federal facilities. We're trying to help them get housing and connect them to employment services. But before all of that, the thing that separates us apart is that we're working with them with the social emotional piece of that trauma of being incarcerated. And so many people really don't know what to do. We get people who are coming in as from as little as 30 days of being incarcerated to 30 plus years. And so we're there to bridge that gap of how do I reintegrate back into the community? How do I build a new life?
Now, is this only for those that have been in the system in the district?
It is. We have a unique relationship and a very good partnership with the Department of Corrections. And so that's why we have the opportunity to go into the jail system. And we've been doing that for over 40 years. And so what we do is that we connect with them in the jail system, but also when they're sentenced and they move on to a federal facility, we meet them again when they come back home.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about help for returning citizens in the District of Columbia. My guest is Paula Thompson, the Executive Director of Voices for a Second Chance. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. How do you decide who gets help when they come into the system, or do you just just help as many as you can. Is there a selection process?
There is not. We help as many as we can. We help on an annual basis. We help over 4,000 people a year, 4,000 citizens a year. And we provide the resources that we can, and those we cannot, we will refer them to our partner agencies. But we turn no one away.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to the phone lines. Kiana calling from Prince George's County. Kiana, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Kiana, are you there? Can you hear me? Give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kristen calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Kristen. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to know, do they have to be fresh out of incarceration? You have young guys that's out here that's been out for 5, 10 years and still can't get a job because when employees go back and look at their history, oh, you've been incarcerated, or you have a charge, or it could be as little as a misdemeanor. And they're not giving these guys a chance.
What we do is that if they come to our office, we will help connect them and assess what their skills levels are. And if we can connect them with potential employers, we will do that through some of our partnerships. But I think more importantly is to assess why they can't find a job. What are some of the barriers that they're facing if they've been out for a number of years? And so we want to get to the root of how can we help them.
Mm-hmm. Where is your office? And you said if they come to the office, so how does that work? Do they just show up? Do they need an appointment?
It's a combination. We have clients, we schedule appointments for case management, but we have walk-ins daily. Our hours that we receive clients are between 9:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. You know, many times when we come into the office, my team, we may have clients who are already sitting on our front steps waiting to be served.
Really?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, because if they were released from the D.C. jail, if they're coming home from the from a federal facility and they don't have housing, many of them know who we are from some capacity. Either they've dealt with us before or they've been referred to us, and they wait for us to get services.
Where are your offices?
1422 Massachusetts Avenue Southeast.
1422 Massachusetts Avenue Southeast. And you have a website as well, because, and I want to let our listeners know, as always, that we'll be posting any information that we discussed tonight on our website on WHUR.com. But for those listening at the moment, what's your website?
It's vscdc.org.
V as in victory?
Yes.
VSC?
DC, D as in David.
.org. VSCDC.org. Kristen, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. A lot of people, when you talk about returning citizens, the image that is conjured up is often men, but you also help women as well. And as a matter of fact, you have something coming up on Thursday that you wanted to share specifically for women that are coming out of incarceration.
That's correct. We have a women's support group targeting reentry, returning citizens, because the needs of women are they're very complex. Men and women share some of the same challenges when they're coming home, but particularly women who in most cases are mothers, they may be head of household, and so they have different apprehensions on what does this new life look like. They may not have custody of their children. They may have been in relationships that were unhealthy. They're also maybe dealing with some residual effects from trauma from their experience pre-incarceration, during incarceration, and post-incarceration. And so this is an opportunity for them to share their experience, and we have clinicians who will be talking to them about different tools and resources to help them.
So where and when is this?
This will be on Thursday at our office, mm-hmm. from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And again, that office address is?
1422 Massachusetts Avenue Southeast.
Massachusetts Avenue Southeast. And what specifically is this event called?
It's very direct, the Women's Reentry Support Group.
There it is, Women's Reentry Support Group. That's on Thursday from 1 until 2:30 in the afternoon at 1422 Massachusetts Avenue Southeast. As I said, we will be posting that information on WHUR.com. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kiana, calling from Prince George's County. Thanks for calling back. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, I was calling to actually give a couple comments.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And the first comment is that, yes, there is excellent programs in Prince George's County. I've done extensive research on this topic, and there are extensive programs in the Washington, D.C. area, such as Project Empowerment and other programs for returning citizens. However, in Prince George's County, there isn't that much. I think that the county exec is currently working on trying to get some programs because it's an election year, but there's not that much. They have a referral service, but they don't have any real programs. So I've started a support group as well for Prince George's County women, and I just wanted to share that with you all.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kiana. I appreciate it because, you know, this is a, as you know, as Paula just said, this is a complex issue. It's complex, as you suggested, more for, you know, more for women, but just in general, because of the vast services that are needed. And so, Kiana, you bring up an interesting point. Paula, what is the most difficult part of getting a returning citizen back on their feet for your organizations and others like yours, do you think?
Employment and housing, because it's limited to them, because many of our clients that we see are unskilled or have limited skills, maybe functioning literate or have some other types of literate challenges. There's the issue of mental health. I would say probably 90% of our clients have a mental health diagnosis. Also, I think we don't talk about the physical conditions that many people have.
What do you mean health issues, right? Okay.
Health issues. I mean, we work with people who are HIV positive, hepatitis C, and some are managing that care and many are not. And then there's substance abuse issues. We have clients who are nonviolent drug offenders, but they still need treatment. Mm-hmm. And so they may reoffend because of their addiction. So we're seeing it sort of compound the issue in the sense of when people come home, all you hear is that get a job, mm-hmm. Find housing. Well, we know that housing is very limited in the district for this particular population.
So where do they go?
As well as employment. Sometimes they go back to jail, unfortunately.
I mean, under the best circumstances, because, you know, ideally we're talking about mm-hmm. keeping them mm-hmm. from going back. Mm-hmm. And so for those that do not go back, where do they go?
Well, they come to us and they come to many of our partner agencies. There are groups in the city who are doing some good things. There's Thrive DC. There's Free Minds. We also work with Project Empowerment.
But my question is specifically, where do they go? You know, after they come to you, where do you find housing for them?
It's tough. We don't find housing.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. We connect them with partner agencies who find housing for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get them to that point where all they have to do, the partner agency, is pick it up and try to find housing for them. But quite frankly, many of them return to their same neighborhoods.
Okay.
They may return to the shelter, or they may be living on the streets.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to go back to the phone lines. Pat in D.C., Troy in Temple Hills, Yolanda in Prince George's County, and Paul in D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay on the line. You will be able to hear the program. Keep calling if you're having trouble getting in. I promise we will be able to take your phone calls. The Daily Drum will continue. On Sirius XM, Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. To the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about help for returning citizens. My guest is Paula Thompson. She's the executive director of Voices for a Second Chance here in D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a question or a comment about help for returning citizens in the district, let me go to Troy. Troy calling from Temple Hills. Troy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I am a returning citizen. Mm-hmm. I've been away for 25 consecutive years in the state of Virginia. I'm a native Washingtonian. I graduated from Archbishop Carroll High School. Immediately upon arriving to the city, there was really no aid in the sense of having someone really guide me through the culture shock of being away for so long. Mm-hmm. I'm also a veteran, let me add, too. I'm a Navy veteran. Today I went to America Works, which they provided some assistance as far as my veteranship. Also, I went to Returning Citizen Affairs, which pretty much guided me, and they guided me to Project Empowerment, which I believe I may start on the second.
Well, let me, Troy, if I may, what specifically do you need help with at this moment?
I need help with employment.
Okay.
The only thing that I need help with employment, because most of the areas that I did apply, I was still hit with that incredible barrier of being incarcerated, formerly incarcerated.
Okay, Paula, what can people like Troy do? I mean, he seems, at least on the face, that he has something that you could possibly work with. You know, he's a veteran. You know, he's obviously intelligent by this short conversation. So, if he were to come to you, what would be the plan for Troy? You're welcome to talk to him. He's okay. Listening.
How are you doing, Paula?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing, Troy? Well, I think you've made some good steps. You've contacted MORCA, which is the Mayor's Office on Returning Affairs, and they've connected you with Project Empowerment. But something that you said struck me that you experience every day is the fact that you said that the experience is daunting coming home after 25 years. And, I can detect that, you're versed and you would be able to secure employment, but the flashbacks or the trauma that you experienced during that time still is with you. And what we can assist you in is processing that. And giving you the tools to help you heal, because it is really about healing. And you need healing because you've been away for a significant period of your life and you're coming back to a different community. And so, like I said, you can do the job, you can be employed, and you can probably do the routine of a job, but there's so many emotional and mental aspects of that I think that goes uncovered, and that's the piece where we can help you.
Well, may I interject for a second?
Sure.
Fortunately, I've been able to. I really haven't exhibited any of those symptoms, or I really don't feel that. My main objective is to seek employment. I mean, I have bills, and I want to get back into society and pay my dues, to society. I want to help out. And it's a difficult task. It's very daunting in the aspect of transitioning from one phase to the other and people accepting you that way, mm-hmm. And that's the main thing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, because your number is the stigma. And so having to explain the absence of 25 years, yes, you're saying you're dealing with that, but at the same time, you still have that stigma. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Correct.
Yeah. So those are the types of things, the types of support that we can offer you. Because it's not a magic wand that just wipes that out and you're okay and you can get employment. But it's how do I stay mentally and emotionally healthy so that I remain on the outside building this new life.
Okay.
Well, Troy, thank you so much. And if you're, you know, interested in exploring more with Voices for a Second Chance, they are online at vscdc.org. That's vscdc.org. And certainly good luck to you, Troy. Thank you so much for calling.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Paula.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Let me go to Pat. Pat calling from D.C.
Hello.
Thanks for calling, Pat. What's on your mind?
I have a question and also a comment. I have a husband that's incarcerated, and he actually did the program at the D.C. jail before he was shipped out to do his violation. I just want to know what opportunities are available to him once he's released. So I know that he graduated from the program over the jail with quite an empowerment, but I'm not sure how to get in contact with people. So once he's released to go to the halfway house, or whether he has straight release, he has some
Pat, let me stop, Pat, just for a moment, because I'm not we're not clear. What is it that that he needs specifically?
Kind of like some type of stepping stone once he gets home, to be reiterated with employment. So because he has a charge, he was locked up for 17 years. He's most likely going to be on paper actually for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But he has had employment, but has some disappointed leave. You know, once you have a charge.
So let me, he's still incarcerated right now?
He is.
He is. And when is he expected to be released?
January.
In January, okay.
Okay, and did you say, Pat, that he's in the D.C. jail?
No, he's actually in Fort Dix, New Jersey, in a federal institution.
Okay, so...
Well, he did complete the part of the empowerment program when he was at the jail, thinking that he was going to be released, but he's a parole violator, so he received a hit from the parole board.
Okay. And the short answer is, I'm going to give you the number to our office so that you can call us, and so that we can talk about what I'll describe as a reentry plan, that we can get connected with him, so that when he's home, we can try to assess what his needs are. Okay. So the phone number is 202-544-2131.
544-2131.
Yes.
Okay. And my comment is that I'm actually an ex-offender myself. I've been home for 17 years. I actually went through Project Empowerment. And I just know that initially when I came home, I was released for a couple of years and violated and ended up having to go back to prison.
Mm-hmm.
You really need resources. I'm doing awesome, though. I went to Project Empowerment, got a decent government job.
Pat, I'm sorry. Your signal is not clear, unfortunately, and we can't understand what you're saying. But at least I hope that that the phone number will be able to offer some resources when he comes out, and to please make sure that you stay in contact with a Second Chances between now and January. So thank you so much for your phone call, okay?
Okay, thanks. Right,
thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Yolanda, calling from Prince George's County. Yolanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What I need to know, would like to ask her, does this only apply to D.C. residents, or the person that was, if they was arrested in D.C. prison?
Yes, it does. We only work with district residents. However, Prince George's County residents who have been detained in a D.C. facility, they will qualify for our services.
Yes, the person was detained in a D.C. facility.
Yes, and then we could help them. And I can give you our phone number if you'd like to call our office for more information.
I have that, 202-544-2131.
Correct.
And I have your address on your website. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Yolanda. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Paul, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Paul, what's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, Mark Fisher. Thank you so much.
It's Harold, but go right ahead, Paul.
Okay, Harold, thank you so much for receiving my call.
Sure.
Let me introduce myself and give you a little back.
Well, keep it quick, Paul, let me stop you. Be quick. We've got a lot of folks on the line.
You.
So go right ahead.
I was born in 1994, came out in 2003, 8 years. My church helped me. You know, all these programs out here to say that they're doing so much to help these returning citizens. Well, Harold, let me just be honest with you. Unless they go into the prison to give them the training that they need to equip them for when they come out, because the reality is when they come out, they go to the halfway house, and the halfway house teaches them that either you got to get a job, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And a lot of these programs out here are not doing what they really say they are doing. And the truth of the matter is that so many returning people that are returning back into our community, the reason why they continue to go back and forth, because they have no hope, they have no belief in the system that say, okay, we're out here doing. People should know, if you have a felony, you can't even get that squash. You can't get that, you know, seal. Now, misdemeanor, yeah. But felony, it's really left.
Paul, let me stop you there, because I think one of the things, and I'm sure that, you know, Paula can speak to this. First of all, her organization is almost 50 years old. And we did talk about earlier the complexities of returning citizens. Everybody's story and situation is certainly different. And I think what Paul is talking about, even outside of the skills piece, Paula, goes to the heart of your organization and going into the system.
Absolutely. And we understand the complexities. And there is, you know, we're very intentional about our services. Our approach is individual centered. We include the family, is culturally competent, and we're result driven. And so I can only speak to the services that we provide, and that we have been able to help people empower themselves to create a new life. And we've done that for tens of thousands of people. But I absolutely understand and that there are challenges, and that sometimes the resources are not always effective. But do know that there are community-based organizations who are working very hard to make sure that. Yes.
And just real quick, Aunt Harold.
Yeah.
Just so y'all know who I am. I'm Paul Trantham. I'm an ANC commissioner in the District of Columbia, okay?
Okay.
I be on the news all the time. I'm in Ward 8, 8B02. And I came out, and, yeah, I was determined that I wasn't going back. And I'm not trying to say, Miss Paula, that your program don't work. I don't know about your program. This is the first I heard it when I started listening to Harold Fisher tonight. And what caused me to call in is because you said something to that other gentleman about emotion. It has nothing to do with emotion. They're past the emotional part, okay? When they come back out, they're told certain things, Miss Paula. And the government, every political figure in this city, when election time come around, they talk about the returning citizens.
But hold on. You just said when you came out, you were determined not to go in.
You know who helped me?
Who?
Tell you who helped me, Terrell.
I don't know.
Let me be very clear.
Go ahead.
If it wasn't for my church, Allen Chapel, AME,
okay.
Reverend Lipscomb, Pastor Bell.
Okay, but Paul, don't miss my point. You said when you got out, you were determined not to go back in. That is an emotional decision, which is exactly what Paula is talking about. And I would dare say, and thank you so much for listening, it is that kind of emotional vigor that you still have that you can share with the people in Ward 8 or anywhere else. So I thank you so much. And I think that your phone call will be enough to inspire others to take it. But look, Paul, I got to take a break. I'll be back in just a moment. Thank you so much for calling. More of this conversation in just a bit. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about help for returning citizens tonight with Paula Thompson, Executive Director of Voices for a Second Chance. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deborah, calling from Northeast D.C. Thanks for calling, Deborah. What's on your mind? Deborah, are you there? Deborah, give me a call back, Deborah, if you can. Paula, I want to talk a little bit more about the issues and resources for women, because as you said, there's the event on Thursday from 1 to 2:30, a support services event specifically for women. Talk to me a little bit more about some of the things that your organization does specifically for them.
Well, we provide trauma-informed individual counseling and group counseling, and we provide that inside of the DC jail facility as well as in our office. We also really encourage bringing the family in and connecting them with the children. We have a program and that we partner with Stanton Elementary School, working with children of incarcerated parents, and being able to connect the child with the parent, because they're both experiencing grief and loss of the relationship and the presence in their lives. And so, you know, we try to make sure that they remain connected, because that's a significant motivating factor for women when they come home, is connecting with their children and being able, they can't make up the time, but they want to be a good mother. We also find that a lot of our women have been victimized themselves. And as a result of that, there may have been some mental health challenges and some substance abuse challenges with that. And so trying to put them in programs that will help them not repeat those actions from the past.
What, not just women, but men and women, what do you think is the common denominator that determines success or failure for the returning citizen?
It's an individual responsibility. It's that they decide that they want to do something different and that they're ready now, no matter what. A lot of issue is poverty, because you have people who are coming home and they may not be able to get a job at all, or they may get a job with minimum wage, and they will say, quite frankly, I cannot take care of this with my family. And it forced them to think about illegal opportunities. I will leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to take care of their families.
Yeah, violate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, committing crimes again. Yeah.
And so it's not that they always want to do it. They sometimes feel like they don't have any other choice, because if my child is hungry and they need clothing, then what am I supposed to do? I'm not receiving any other kind of aid or services, but I still want to look like that hero, in a sense, to my family, because I'm still supposed to take care of them.
Deborah, calling from Northeast D.C. Thanks for calling, Deborah. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
Just
I work
fine.
I want to know if your guests know about MBI Health Services, mental health services on Minnesota and Bennett Road.
Uh-huh.
Because they do something like what she's doing, and they give them a community support worker. They see a therapist. They see a psychiatrist. And they tell me of all the good stories that the CSW, we call them CSW, that do for them. They get them a phone, housing, job, all that.
Okay. Well, Deborah, thank you.
That's nice.
Well, thank you so much. What is she specifically referring to?
She's referring to MBI. They provide mental health services. Mm-hmm. And so they come from a therapeutic standpoint. And so that's what she's talking about.
I see. But mm-hmm. She also sounds like they have some other wraparound services.
Yeah, we work with MBI as well. They're a partner agency. And they do similar work with us, but they really focus on the mental health piece.
Mm-hmm. What is RAN, Reentry Action Network?
RAN is a fairly new, it's been in existence about a year now. I'm the chair of the network, and it is a coalition of direct services reentry providers. And we're very specific about that, that all of the agencies that are members have a reentry program, or they only serve returning citizens. And so we advocate for services that are needed and resources that we all face, that we know that's a common issue. We work with the administration to try to also inform them of what the issues are that our clients, our returning citizens, are facing. And, you know, we try to impact in that way. And so it has been growing very fast, but you can only be a community-based organization to be a member.
Mm-hmm. Your organization doesn't just focus on the individual returning citizen. You also try to assist in the family piece. Talk to me about that, mm-hmm. please.
We do. As I mentioned earlier, the family is central to a successful reintegration. And so when a man or woman is incarcerated, we're still talking with their family. We're giving them updates. We're doing third-party phone calls to them. Also, we're meeting with the family in our office to help them through the process. Sometimes when the person, their loved one, is arrested, they may have been the breadwinner. So now they're in a situation where they don't have any funds coming in to support the family unit. And so we try to connect them in that way. We also have special programs during the holidays. We may do Thanksgiving basket giveaway. We also do adopt a family, where we have volunteers adopt a family and shop for them to provide toys and food to our families, so that, you know, that there is not a full disruption. We already know there is a disruption because the loved one is not in the home, but we try to let it be a distraction, mm-hmm. a positive distraction for the children. But we really encourage the connection of the children, the other loved one, whether it's a spouse or a significant other, to make sure that they remain linked, because that tends to strengthen the person who is incarcerated, with helping them know that they do have family on the outside who care about them. And then they can begin to take some individual responsibility about, what do I need to do to make sure that I can get back to my family and remain there?
When a family knows that a loved one is about to be released from incarceration, is your staff there when that happens, or, you know, have they been there with the family to offer support either immediately before or immediately after? I'm asking, what kind of conversations are you having with the family literally in the weeks and days before that loved one comes home?
Mm-hmm. Are they ready? Are they ready to receive this person? You know, like I said, whether it's if they've been away 30 days or a number of years, are they ready? And that means being emotionally and psychologically ready to receive them.
Such as, give me an example of what, when you say emotionally and psychologically ready.
Sometimes when there's been a lot of distance, people have grown apart, and there may be some expectations. Whereas the husband may have been the breadwinner, now the woman is. And so she's in that position where she's making all the decisions solo. And so that can be a challenge when the man comes home to assume his role. And I don't want to put it as a gender thing, but it's just about the responsibilities that they shared. And that can be challenging. Children grow up. And if they have not had a consistent relationship with their parent, that can also be a challenge. Sometimes they're receptive, sometimes they're not. And so we try to be that navigating force to figure out what's the common thing we can bring them together around.
What are those conversations like?
They're tough. Because everyone wants to be received. And if, you know, you feel an absence, and sometimes you do grow apart. you know, but at the same time, you want to support them and giving them encouragement so that they can focus on themselves and they can focus on themselves. But at the same time, you want your father or you want your mother, but you also want them to understand that you're not the person they were when they were incarcerated.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Real quick, the event on Thursday, give me a quick preview of that.
Sure. It's a women's support group, reentry support group. It's for women who have been home, whether it's been for a short period of time or a long period of time, but just as a safe space to talk about that experience and then also offer what resources are needed. So if there are things that are not being provided, we can, you know, work together to figure out how we can make sure where they're being supported.
Now, how many women will you take in this support group on Thursday?
We won't turn anyone away.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, that's good.
We won't turn anyone away.
Because certainly there are a lot of people that are listening to this conversation who may say, ha, they're going to put it on their calendar or what have you. They want to come and receive that support. And so, you know, I wanted to, you know, make sure that they have an opportunity to participate and experience the resources that you have. And, of course, that's from 1 to 2:30 in the afternoon at 1422 Massachusetts Avenue Southeast. And the website is vscdc.org. That's V as in victory, S-C as in cat, D-C as in cat.org. Paula Thompson, thank you so much for your work in the community and good luck.
Thank you.
All right. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, October 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And don't forget our special town hall at Reed Temple in Glendale. It starts at 7. It's a live broadcast from 7 until 8 o'clock. Doors will open at 6 p.m. We're talking about domestic violence. It's such an important topic. And so we certainly look forward to seeing you there. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.